Welcome to Bimmercast number 48. It is April 20th, 2011. Welcome to the New York Auto... Well, wait a second. Or the Shanghai Auto Show. Well, I don't know. They're happening at the same time. I'm not sure what we're really talking about tonight, but we have a ton of news. We've got the Active E, the 1 Series electric vehicle. Of course, we're going to be talking about the M5, a little bit of the 1M, the Z4 four-cylinder, the Z4 GT3, which, of course, is the race car, 6 Series coupe, just a ton of stuff. We're going to be talking a little bit about the new front-wheel drive BMWs that everybody so far loves to hate. We'll give you a little bit of insight into why you may or may not hate them. And anything else that comes up, stay tuned. Okay, so Michael, we're back. It's been about a week and a half or so, but we are back with number 48, and it's spring, but there is some snow on the ground in Chicago.
Gabe, I feel like this global warming thing is really starting to play a big part of my life.
Well, I don't know if it's El Nino or La Nina, but it has been a miserable spring so far in Chicago. I have my summer tires on my ZHP, and I will say this. Turn off the DSC and it's a fun drive.
Yeah, and it really is not so bad because you can do drifts and everything and save your tires.
This is true. Absolutely. So let's see. Starting the show off with a little bit of bad news. My E28 5 Series, my 1988 535 IS, is currently... I've given up on the clutch. I had an issue with... Actually, the new clutch breaking, and I think I'm pretty sure it has something to do with my incompetence. I'll just admit that, but it is currently in a garage down the street, and it's a place I trust quite a bit, and it is being fixed, but it is also soon to be leaving my garage. So, kind of sad. We'll talk about that next show, but I've got a big gaping hole in my garage waiting to be filled by something, and I'm thinking big tires in the rear, but
monster truck.
Well, oh, there you go, you got it. I was actually thinking of a big wheel. Anyway, we'll get to that next week. But we have a ton to talk about. I mean, I think the thing that's fresh on a lot of people's minds is the new 4-cylinder Z4.
I wasn't very surprised by the Z4 being offered with a 4-cylinder, Gabe.
I know. I was waiting for you to launch into it because I think, Michael, you and I, but more specifically, you have been talking about 4-cylinders coming. We've known they've been sort of in the plans for really years almost. And we've also known for quite a while that the first vehicle was going to be the Z4. Here we see it finally. We see a Z4 28i with, of course, less power than the Z4 30i, but it is actually claimed to be better performance.
Well, yeah, the new N20 4-cylinder twin scroll turbo motor will actually have less horsepower, more torque. So in my, you know, opinion, you're going to have a lot of people say that the car actually has more power because it has more torque.
Well, and apparently 0 to 60 is pretty consistent, and of course it has much better fuel economy.
Thanks in part to also the 8-speed automatic.
So it's interesting. So the 8-speed automatic replaces the 6-speed automatic. Will there be a DCT available with this engine? I'm guessing not.
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I think that the DCT is going to be left for the 35 IS and the big boy. Yeah, the big boy. And we're probably going to see the IS's change as well, if anyone has been picking up on this. 640 came out with a bigger inline six motor, so we're sure to see that the IS's in the US will change.
Well, so that's another story. It wasn't bigger, it just has more power, right?
Yeah.
So am I understanding correctly that the 640 has, what, 320 horsepower?
Yes.
And the current IS range is N54 based?
Yes.
Even the 335 IS?
Yes.
So that's going to just slot right over. And should we expect, and here's the key, the Z435S has that N54, that sweet N54 with 335 horsepower, which of course forms the basis of the 1M. Are we expecting that to be downgraded to 320 horsepower?
No, it's just different software and different ability to be cooled, because that Z4 has such a big front end that it can actually scoop up more air and cool the turbos. That's what, you know, basically has been going on with the Z4 and how it has more horsepower than the other ones. So I would just imagine, I don't have any idea, but I would imagine if you just take past history and look at it, and we're going to see that the N54 IS motor, which also happens to be in the 1M, we're going to see it disappear for model year 2012. But that, that's not the real fun. The real fun is this four-cylinder. It's going to give more performance, essentially, and 20% less burning of fossil fuels.
So that is less burnt dead dinosaurs and better...
More money in your pocket, too.
Better MPG. You know, we're going to have $5 a gallon gas. In fact, we're very close to it in Chicago. It was $4.77 this morning for premium.
We're about the same here in New York. So
it was and I mean it was about 10 cents cheaper. No, that's not true. About 8 cents cheaper, 7 cents last week. So it's certainly on the rise still. I can't help but think BMW has really done this at the right time. They've held on to six cylinders for quite a while. I mean, You had a piece last week about the 318 Ti being the last four cylinder BMW, and boy, that seems like 20 years ago, not 10. Well, yeah, I guess it's actually more than 10. It's about 13. But
it's like, I mean. Yeah, I mean, it's mid 90s. It's if you think of how long ago that is, it's kind of frightening. And at that time, when the 318 came to market, the 318 Ti, it was kind of a car that really didn't belong here. It was the more is more group of people buying cars. You know, the economy was roaring. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted more power, more this, more that. And the 318 Ti was kind of like, this is like, whatever.
I'll never forget having a California top 318 Ti with an automatic. And I have to say that the California top made that a fun little afternoon drive, but man, that thing was a dog.
Dog, right? Complete dog.
Jeez, it was complete dog. It wasn't the acceleration that was fun about that car. Let me just say that.
And Gabe, that car killed four-cylinder motors and hatchbacks. It was like the worst case scenario possible. They destroyed the hatchbacks. I love hatchbacks. Destroyed four cylinders. A lot of people like four cylinders, like fuel economy.
It's funny because I know we have some 318 Ti fans who listen to us. And I mean, I have a soft spot in my heart for the 318 Ti's that are driving around right now with 17-inch BBS really wide wheels and tires, and you know they've been lowered. I mean, there's something about those cars, but you know that was one of those BMWs that you had to mod, you had to really go way above and beyond what the factory did to make it interesting. You know, whereas I could go out and buy a 325 CI, a 2001 3 Series coupe with a manual transmission, and that immediately is an interesting car. You had to put your stamp on that 318 Ti to make it a cool BMW.
Yes, and you were basically getting a crappy version of a GTI for more money.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It was a rear-wheel drive car. I mean, I won't go that far. It was a rear-wheel drive. It was still a BMW. It had that that E36 chassis with the incredible steering. And of course, it had no back end. I wonder what the weight distribution is on that car.
No idea. It's like they just chopped it. Well, they did literally just chop it, but
that's another story. Anyway,
so that is the great segue into the Z4. The Z4 is the complete antithesis of that car, of the 3. Yeah. It's extremely sporty, looks damn hot, and it's actually like performance oriented. Okay,
the Z4, I mean, listen, we've talked about it before. The huge knock against the Z4 is the steering feel. Now, the Z435 IS fixed that with software. For the most part, we have talked about how maybe that software change will happen with the refresh. Let's just pretend it has. Let's pretend the software is not an issue, the steering feel is not an issue. Now you have a lighter, really faster Z4 with a quick revving four-cylinder. I can't help but think that's kind of a new sleeper in the BMW range.
I would agree. I mean, I would agree, definitely.
240 horsepower with Valvetronic, 240 horsepower, 260 foot-pound of torque. Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. I cannot wait. We're going to get the figures. In fact, we should have them, if not as you hear this, we should have them on Thursday. I would love to get the figures on weight. I think it's going to be, I'm just guessing here, I think it's going to be 80 to 100 pounds lighter.
Oof, you're being generous.
Maybe so. I'm just thinking of all the plumbing, you know? I mean, well, no, that said, it is a turbo four. So it actually may not be, maybe more like 30 to 50 pounds lighter.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it's the weight balance. But, well, actually, I think they can actually position that engine
further back
mm-hmm. too. So,
and it's already pretty far back on the Z4. So,
right. So I think it's going to actually help handling significantly. Mm-hmm.
No, I think so as well. I mean, the N54 is not a light engine. I mean, it's not abnormally heavy, but I mean, two turbos clearly doesn't reduce weight. So you're going to be going up against the, you know, when you compare the Z4 28i versus a Z4 30 35i, there's going to be a pretty big difference
in weight. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the sad part of this whole story is that we're losing the naturally aspirated inline six.
Well, I think that's one thing we haven't talked about. Of course, we're not. There's still a couple cars out there with it. I take that back. It's just going to be the one series and the three. So the 1 Series ends production this year, so that's going to end the 1 Series, and then, of course, the 3 Series next year. And the 328i is going to be the last naturally aspirated, I mean, non-M car, yeah. Last naturally aspirated non-M car, period, in the BMW lineup.
I think you're absolutely right with that.
I mean, we're going to have to really do a special show for that. I mean, that's incredible. And listen, we, you know, like a lot of you listening, I mean, we both love the notion of naturally aspirated inline six engines. I mean, that was sort of the religion that so many of us subscribed to, you know, when it came to BMW. Naturally aspirated inline sixes was 50-50 weight distribution. That was the marketing machine. That's what the marketing machine has told us for so many years. That's what we loved about the cars. And now, of course, times have changed, and turbo isn't that dirty word maybe that it used to be. But nonetheless, it's still pretty pretty big moment.
Yeah, it's a very big moment, and you know the one plus to think about all of this is that BMW made the decision to go turbo and to invest all this money into efficient dynamics a while ago. You know, this isn't something that they've just started trying to do. They've been working on this stuff for a very long time, so they know what they're doing. They're doing it the best that they can, and if anyone's going to build them, you know, an internal combustion engine, well, it's going to be BMW. So rest assured, it's going to be smooth. It's going to be reliable for the most part, you know, minus maybe a little hiccup here and there, but you know, for the most part, the motor itself, not the ancillary devices, will be fine. And no, I'm just saying, because if you look at, I was reading something not too long ago in one of the business magazines, and it was discussing how BMW has basically $3 billion advantage when it comes to fuel efficiency and emissions for their cars going forward compared to the competitors of Mercedes and Audi. It's kind of eye-opening how much money BMW has invested in this stuff and how far ahead they really are when it comes to that.
It's incredible, because BMW is known for performance even more so than Audi, and you're right. It's eye opening because they're a much, much smaller independent company than Audi. I should say the VW group. So it is a combination of bold moves, smart moves, and I'd say pretty strong leadership.
And it's a diversified thing. You know, they're using different engines and different, you know, they're using hybrid, they're using diesel, they're using four cylinders, they're using turbos. They have a variety. I mean, if I'm just trying to wrap my hands around what Infiniti has to do to get rid of that V6 they put in every single vehicle.
Well,
they
yeah,
make.
I mean, we know what they're doing. They're buying Mercedes engines, but here's the problem. What's Mercedes doing?
Right.
I mean, Mercedes is, and nobody is going to deny the fact that Mercedes can be a strong engineering-based company, but right now, take away that 6.3 liter, or I should say 6.2 liter AMG engine. Can you think of a Mercedes engine that is, you know, incredible? The engine that you know, I mean, they just don't have anything that that really defines the company and the engineering prowess.
Maybe the three-cylinder and the Smart.
Known to be one of the worst engines currently in production. No, but I mean, in all seriousness, like, what is Infiniti buying? They must have insight that we don't, obviously. I mean, there must be the twin turbo V6 that is going to solve all their problems. That's, you know, going to be released next year. I mean, that's my guess. But, you know, nonetheless, you're right. I mean, Infiniti is probably, without that deal, they would be probably in one of the worst positions. The only company I would say that may be worse off, and it's shocking, if you would have said this 5 years ago, you would have thought I was an idiot. Honda. I mean, where is Honda's? Where are the new ideas when it comes to engines? Where are the direct injection twin turbos? Where are the? I mean, of course they spent all this money on their hybrid.
So did Toyota, you know.
And Toyota, yeah, you're right. But I mean, hybrid technology in Honda is not synonymous like it is with Toyota, and generally speaking, it has not paid off for them.
No.
So you've got to wonder. I mean, it's BMW. I mean, God, it's almost like, I mean, you look around and nobody is doing it as well as BMW.
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, that kind of segues nicely into the Activa, Gabe.
Right. So the Activa, of course, is the 1 Series electric vehicle. And this is a car that has been shown around different auto shows. It was debuted a year and a half ago. We finally got to see the final sort of the actual production version, if you will, in Geneva, and now in Shanghai, and I believe in of course in New York. Actually, no, I'm sorry, in New York, BMW is taking the wraps off of the car along with a North American price tag. And like the Mini E, this is going to be, of course, a lease opportunity for people in certain markets. But man, that lease price, setting the stage for this, the Mini E was available for, was it $880 a month for 2 year lease?
It was over 800, yes.
I think it was 880, if I remember right. The Activa E, of course, it's a more complex, higher tech system, many,
much
many
more
things,
refined
liquid,
yeah,
cooling, like lots of things that are much better about it. Has built-in navigation along with a ton of other features that allows you to see the charging as it happens. Rear-wheel drive, BMW, larger, yada yada. It is going to be priced at monthly $499.
And it's a sick deal.
I think it speaks volumes of where BMW hopes to head with mass consumption of these electric vehicles. I also think the Nissan Leaf had a little bit to do with that.
You think so?
Here's the thing. The Nissan Leaf came to market not just a little cheaper than any electric vehicle before, but substantially cheaper. And I cannot help but think that BMW looked at this and said, listen, this has to be more of a loss leader. You know, this has to be something that feels attainable, because now we're getting close to the BMW I launch. And if people want to look at BMW's electric vehicles and consider them somewhat attainable, you know, all the better, because when that BMW i3 launches, of course, that's going to launch in a lot more markets, and Chicago and a few others probably will be among those. That has to actually appeal to a greater selection of people. I mean, what Activa is still not a huge production target.
No, I think it's capped at 1,000 units, right? Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, and
yeah,
and it's still based on, you know, a combustion engine chassis. It's not an EV from the get go, obviously.
Right. So there's a lot of inefficiencies within the design itself, but you know, nonetheless, I mean, it's really a pretty interesting option.
Yeah, how they use the tunnels and gas tank area and front area to mm-hmm. put the battery packs and keep the balance right. And the electric motor in this is actually built by BMW, designed by BMW. And
that's a big, big deal. I mean, BMW is, I mean, they're not messing around here. I mean, they are all in when it comes to electric vehicles now.
Yes, and I believe our friend Martin Berkman probably has his hand, you know, big hand in all of this, because he, I believe his new title is, you know, head of future powertrain development or something like that. So
wow,
yeah, pretty cool stuff. I'm really intrigued by the the Active E and what it means as a, it's almost, I think it's going to be a huge jump from the Mini E. Just by reading the presser, there's a lot more going on. A lot more thought was put into, you know, the electronics and how to control the car when it's plugged into the grid to run the air conditioning to keep everything, you know, cooler.
Absolutely. Not
using it. And then there's, you know, different modes. There's regular mode, and you have like econ mode. And
well, and if you've driven a Mini E, I mean, we both have driven a Mini E, and it's not a bad car in any way, but it is. It feels like, in hindsight, it feels like one of the first electric cars.
Right.
That, I mean, for mass market. Like, for instance, the brake regeneration is extreme. The way it moves, the way it accelerates, it's all new and feels maybe not as polished as, you know, we all know this will be. Just to follow up, the car, the Active E has a 50-50 weight distribution. 168 horsepower with a maximum torque of 250 newton meters. So, you know, it's certainly going to be quick. I don't have the weight off the top of my head, but I do know that you're right. Over 1,000 of these vehicles will be produced in the U.S., Europe, and I should say produced in Europe and sold or released in the U.S., Europe, and China.
Yeah, and then the next step, obviously, after this is mega city, all carbon fiber. You know, passenger cell. So
right. Yeah. So you're talking about a much lighter vehicle, much more space efficient. So that will be very, very cool.
Now, what is the opposite of an electric vehicle?
Well, I would have to say the opposite of an electric vehicle is a twin turbo V8 M5.
Twin turbo V8
M5. Does BMW have one of those?
Well, I think they have a concept of that.
So the M5, we talked about a week and a half ago in the last podcast. It has been officially shown now in Shanghai, and of course the M5 is the concept form is a thinly disguised final production version that we'll see in Frankfurt. Over 560 horsepower, Michael. I think you have more info on that. Twin turbo V8, incredible differential, putting that power down. This car is going to be the fastest BMW ever. Period, I think.
Wow. I actually just like it. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Seeing it in the video that we released today from Shanghai, it looks fantastic in video, in motion, and in person. It looks really, really cool. So the engine, 560-plus horsepower. What are our thoughts on the final figures?
On the final figures, 560 plus.
There you go. So it's interesting.
No, it's like that because of the different markets. U.S. is probably 560, and then, you know, Europe will be 565 bhp.
So. Mm-hmm. Tons of torque. It's a quick revving. Twin turbo V8, as we know from Chris Harris's drive from Evo magazine, it is really, really exciting because, I mean, this is, of course, a new dawn for M. It's got turbo power. You know, there's just a lot of excitement around it. Now, one thing that we talked about last show, the concept of an all-wheel drive M5, and I know, Michael, you were definitely saying that you don't believe that this is that Dr. Kai's comments around all-wheel drive represented what was coming for the M5, but more of what was coming for maybe the X3.
And for the record,
I completely agree. I don't know if I said that last show, but I don't think there's any way that BMW is going to put an all-wheel drive system in this M5.
No, it was Albert Biermann, who's basically the head of R&D over there at M. And he was talking about, you know, M has some surprises with all-wheel drive coming that's going to surprise people. What I think it is, Gabe, and I think what you think it is as well, is going to be an X3 at least. What I really see it being is the X1, because the X1 is selling, oh man, it's just selling like hotcakes. I don't even think BMW realized how well this thing was going to sell. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have it in the U.S. because they can't build enough of the damn thing. So I see that as their next launching platform of M. So that might be like, you know, we have the one M to get people in, you know, quote unquote air quotes here, more affordable M product. So I could see them doing a similar thing like the X5 and X6M in the X1. So you have an X1 M version, which would be pretty damn sweet because you could drop the N54, same motor in there, tweak the suspension on that. I mean, that would be almost...
So here's the only thing, though. I thought the N54 wasn't going to be available after 2011.
Oh, for our market. We don't have the X1 here, Gabe.
So you're saying that an MX1 may only be for European markets?
Possibly, yes. Yes.
Interesting.
And then that's not to say that they already haven't figured out the N55 for an M version.
For a light M version, we'll call it.
Yes, light.
That's true. That's really interesting, actually. I think the X1M would, you're right, I think it would sell like crazy. But it seems like they're leaving a huge gaping hole. I mean, maybe that X3M comes later. And let me be the first to say, I mean, not a fan of the concept of the M crossovers, but in practice, they're incredible. And, you know, I urge anyone with an iPad, by the way, to go and buy the latest edition of Evo on the iPad. It's only $5. It's normally like $12 in the US if you get the paper version. Go buy it. If you don't have $5 or an iPad, go to your local bookstore. You'll have to.
Well, that would be probably Barnes & Noble, since Borders is no longer with us.
Well, right. I mean, there's, you know, we have some independent bookstores, and there's one actually in Evanston I go to quite a bit that has all that. But Barnes & Noble, if you're out in the burbs or out elsewhere, and go find Evo and read that interview with Dr. Kai that Chris Harris did, where he basically called him out and said, there's a lot of us at Evo who don't believe the X5M and X6M are real M cars. What's your take? And his first thought, absolutely, they're real M cars. You know, you can do four laps in the ring with those cars and they're fine. You know, and I think there's a lot of instances where, you know, Dr. Kai really, really, he kind of lays the gauntlet down, not to Chris, but to, you know, to sort of everybody who questions the X5 and the XM. Just go read the interview. My favorite part is, you know, is talking about the 1M and saying, is there going to be something four cylinder, even more entry level? And Dr. Kai basically said, yes, in 2 years there may be a few used 1Ms out there. That would be our entry level vehicle. And I think, you know what? He's right. I mean, you know, so many times automakers have to feel like they have to satisfy the market with, you know, all these different areas. I mean, clearly BMW non-M feels the need to do that. But I love the fact that the M brand can basically say, yes, our entry level is the used version of our cheapest car. And that's okay. We stand behind, in a way, he's saying, we stand behind that car, not the minute we sell it, but 2 years down the road, 6 years down the road. You know, whoever buys that car has been welcomed into the M family. And I think that's a pretty powerful statement.
Oh, I would totally agree, too. The every M is way over-engineered, and people just can't understand how... I mean, even the SAVs are engineered beyond all belief. And we're not talking like AMG. They throw a big motor in, throw like stiffer springs and bigger tires and call it a day.
Like the G63?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to drive a big shoebox. But no, they really do crazy amounts of testing on these things. They go above and beyond what we can fathom. I mean, I've had my M3 now for a while, almost 2.5 years. And put one up on the lift, and I actually finally stared at the underneath of the thing, and it's just amazing how they redirect the air underneath the car for aerodynamics and B, cooling. Like, they actually direct air through the diff, you know, through the transmission tunnel and out the sides to actually swirl air around the transmission to keep it cool. And, you know, there's phantom brake ducts. They really are brake ducts. I've seen them. They're imaginary in the sense of they're not tubes, but they actually can swirl the air up and around. It's just amazing. You know, and us armchair quarterbacks bitch about it all the time. And I just can't get over the amount of work these guys put into these cars. And, you know, if they build it and they put a name, and if they want to put their name on it, I'm all for driving it. I was never a fan of any of the X5 and X6 ones, but You get them on a racetrack, and they will do the same thing, you know, the previous generation E46 M3 will. And that's the God's honest truth. Granted, it'll feel a little different because you got a lot of really cool technology going on, but it will go around the track just as fast.
Well, there you go.
That's me hopping off my M soapbox.
Well, and I think that's probably not a bad place to end the show. I mean, yeah, I think the next thing, if you will, the month of May is going to be dominated by two things. The first is going to be a 6 Series. We're going to be driving the 6 Series and talking about it at length. Of course, this is a new generation of 6 Series. We have been critical of it in the past. This is our opportunity to sort of take it all in as a new vehicle and give you our honest assessment. So I'm going to be test driving a new 6 and doing that. And then the moment and the drive that a lot of us and a lot of you have been waiting for, I'm actually going to have a day at the track and a day on the road with the new BMW 1M. And that will be happening on early May. So we'll, of course, have full review of the 1M. We'll be talking about it in podcast form, of course, lots of photos, track thoughts, really everything. So stay tuned for that as well.
And I just wanted to chime in a little bit about the RLL racing season thus far. 2 wins for Team BMW.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say it. Yeah, that's totally true.
And that's a quick segue into what happens when the E92 leaves. And there's no more 3 Series or M3.
We forgot. Let's talk about it really quick.
There's the most gorgeous looking BMW racing product on the face of the earth, the Z4 GT3 LCI, Life Cycle Impulse.
Yeah, and I have to agree, it is incredible looking. I mean, it has to be the best race car since the Batmobile as far as looks from BMW.
It just looks so raw.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. So are we seeing what's going to happen after the M3s go away? I don't know. But it just seems like BMW Motorsports really putting a lot of R&D into the Z4. For, you know, and considering the fact that it's right now only really a customer car, that's pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And you've got to expect that what BMW is actually doing here is they're putting this car out. And they're gaining insight, and they're making it better. And why would they make it better? You're right. This is a customer car. Why would they make it better? They did, and yeah, there's got to be a reason. And if they did that, would they?
I think they'd have to drop a V8 into a car for the street.
And then would they sell that car? So yeah, lots of thought there. Lots of different thoughts.
Possibilities are endless.
Can you even imagine?
I cannot imagine the V8 that's in my M3 sedan in the Z4. No.
Here's the question. I know they won't do
unreal.
It.
Unreal.
I know they won't do it. I wish they would. What I want them to do is fabricate an aluminum top, a fixed aluminum top, and make the damn thing a coupe and be done with it. I know they won't. And I know as a hard top convertible, it would sell better. It's smarter. It's all around. It's, you know, it's a better play. The car I want to lust after, because I'm buying a 1M. I'm not going to buy the Z4M if it comes out. The car I want to lust after for years, though, is a Z4 M Coupe.
With a V8.
With a V8, E89. That's what I want. That's what I want in my mind when I think about my 2-seater dream car.
I think that would be a pretty damn good car.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, with that quick revving V8, you know better than anybody, Michael. That V8 is
56,000 miles, baby.
Intoxicating.
56,000 miles of just pure love.
All right. Well, there you go. So the Z4 GT3, will it turn into a Z4 M for the road? I guess we'll find out.
Stay tuned.
Time will tell. Well, until then, of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, let us know via the contact form on Bimmerfile. Also, if you have any ideas for shows or really anything, shoot us a note over at bimmerfile.com. Until next week, this is Gabe. Cheers.
And Michael, Prost.